Doris Wildhelmerine is a psychotherapist who has been in private practice for 30 years, the author of 8 books, the most recent, Think Thin, Be Thin. She's a corporate speaker, executive coach, an on-air therapist, has written 1,000-plus newspaper columns distributed by Scripps Howard News Service. Ms. Helmerine has appeared on Oprah, Good Morning America, CNN, and also I hired her in 1979 and gave her her first media break in St. Louis a long time ago. Hi, Doris. How are you?
Hi, George. How are you? Yes, absolutely you do. In fact, I remember when you called and tried to convince me to go on television, and I kept saying, nah, I don't think so. And you kept saying, come on, what's it going to take? More money. And I said, no, I don't think so. And then you said, how about a clothing allowance? And I said, okay, I'll do it.
That's right. You did it. Indeed.
Instantly.
That's right. How have you been over the last few years?
Hey, I've been great. Everything's been good. And you too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Things are fine. And look, you know, you're doing Oprah shows, Good Morning America, and I'm sure more and more on your plate. This new concept, by the way, of changing habits by thinking thin, for example, to be thin, how does that work?
Well, first of all, what we know is through research that first you think, and then you feel, and then you behave. So it's you think, you feel, you behave. Keep remembering that, okay? So your thoughts determine your behavior. And if you learn to control those thoughts, you're going to change, really, the neural landscape of your brain. And if you want to lose weight, you can do it by changing your thoughts. If you want to control your drinking or stop smoking, you can do it by changing your thoughts. And you can even get in control of a bad temper or gambling problem. So what I tell people is breaking bad habits all start with how you think. And I think a lot of times we just don't step back very much from ourselves and really take a look at what we're thinking at the time that we're thinking it. And that's one of the important things that people really need to do.
Doris, does that include people, for example, who road rage?
Absolutely.
How about people who are just, you know, evil type people? I mean, they have, like you said, short fuses. They just go off the handle real fast.
I think people that have sharp fuses, there are some people who have what we call a high irritability excitability quotient. And those people, really, that's genetically driven. We can't help that. But what you can help is you can make a decision that you're going to control it. And one of the things that I tell people over and over, if they have a sharp fuse or if they have a drinking problem or if they have an anger problem, our weight problem, is to use an affirmation. And I think really that's one of the fastest ways to restructure your thought patterns and actually develop new pathways in your brain so that you're going to be able to control that particular bad habit. And people always say, well, you know, like, how can an affirmation work? Well, an affirmation is really just one sentence that you use, and you pick it out and you say it over and over to yourself. So if you're going to be working on your weight, what you might want to say is, I'm a powerful, smart person, and I choose to control what I put in my mouth. Or if you're going to be working on your drinking, we'll say, you know, you can say, I'm a powerful, smart person, and I choose to control my drinking or my smoking or my gambling, whatever the particular bad habit is. And what I tell people is to say that affirmation, pick out one that really works for you, that feels right for you, as well as you think, yep, this is the thing I want to do. And then what you do is you're going to say that a couple thousand times a day. And, you know, you say it when you're blow-drying your hair, taking a shower, walking across the parking lot, in the subway, anytime you're kind of doing a mindless task. And what happens is that it really does change the brain. And we can show that with PET scans. And so if people would just use that particular technique, they would really get in control of their bad habits that they want to be working on.
And obviously they have to tell themselves that they've got an addiction or a problem in the first place, don't they?
They do, but most people know that they're overweight. Most people know that they get too mad. Most people know that they're going gambling too much. They really do know it. They may not want to do anything about it yet. You know, I have people come in and say, in fact, I have this guy in therapy that comes in and says to me all the time, you know, I have to stop drinking. Well, his wife tells him he has to stop drinking. His kids have told him he should stop drinking. And also he's gotten a DWI. So he's got a lot of information out there that he really does need to stop drinking. But what he is doing is that when he says, I have to stop drinking, he's sort of like giving other people the power. He puts them in a position of the parent. And he gets to be the rebellious child then. And until he really says, I choose to control my drinking, or I choose not to drink, I don't think that guy's going to give up drinking. And, you know, that's another thing that I talk about is if you really want to change a bad habit, what you want to do is you want to change the way you talk to yourself in your head. And we've got all kinds of research through neurolinguistic programming that the very words that you use when you talk to yourself in your head actually helps you change your behavior. And I think people are just not aware of that, and it's not so hard to do.
Do people have to hit rock bottom first, Doris, before they can make a change?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's kind of an old notion, and no more do we believe that. We believe that as you start to slide, you see yourself sliding, and you need to grab a hold of yourself and say, whoa, you know, my weight's getting out of hand. Or, you know, I keep saying that the cleaner shrunk my pants, but, you know, this is getting too much. Or, well, if it's a drinking problem, you know when you've got a problem, and you know you need to clean it up.
As far as the affirmation, how do you get the right affirmation? I mean, are the words important? I mean, what if you don't do the right one, for example?
Well, I think all you have to do is to say, I choose to, and that's really important. There was some ideas about, well, maybe you shouldn't put the word not in it, but that's okay. Just say, I choose to. So what are you choosing to do? I choose to control what I put in my mouth, or I choose not to gamble, or I choose to give up smoking. I choose to give up gambling, or I choose to gamble only once a week. Something like that. And so you can pick out your own affirmation, and then you can start saying that over and over again.
It's almost like imprint training, isn't it, by doing that?
It does. It changes the brain.
When you put together this book, Think Thin, Be Thin, you, of course, you're in shape. I've never known you to be overweight.
Well, I work at it. That's because I work at it.
Do you work at it psychologically, or you know, you just don't eat a lot of food?
Well, what I do is I work at it psychologically, and what happens is that I always think about that morning, what am I going to eat for that day? So if I have a lunch date or if I'm going to go out for dinner that night, I'm much more careful during the day so that I count. What I do is I count points, and people do different things. When somebody comes to me and they want to lose weight, I always let them choose their own diet because most people know a lot about diets. A lot of times they don't know how many calories a particular food has, but they do tend to know about what diet they want to go on. So, and what I do for myself is I just kind of keep in touch in my head with how much I'm eating, and I become aware. And a lot of times I think people are just unaware. In fact, I've been working with this one woman who's now dropped about 60 pounds, and it was so interesting to me. I mean, I said to her, she was having trouble walking when she came to me. And I said, well, like, you know, what happened when you went to the store and you had to buy bigger clothes? And she says, well, you know, as long as I could find clothes that fit, well, then that was okay. And it was sort of like she just had no awareness of how much food she was putting in her mouth. And she said she'd go to a fast food restaurant if she felt like it. You know, she just got the urge. She'd be passing by, you know, one of the fast food places, and she'd drive in, and she'd order whatever she wanted. And it wasn't until her son said, Mom, what are you doing to yourself? You're killing yourself. Stop it. That she really started to get a hold of herself. So I believe she was just kind of like in the very early stages of change until her son kind of moved her along and said, hey, Mom, you got to start preparing yourself for change. You got to be doing something differently.
One of the fast food restaurants today, Doris, has announced that they're coming out with a 720-calorie hamburger.
Oh, my God.
47 grams of fat. Now, you're really going to have
really
to do an affirmation on that one.
I think that's not very what you want to buy.
That isn't good. Can you do
that's
it by...
A, you know what? For a guy, even, that's a third of his caloric intake for the day, one hamburger.
Yeah, absolutely. And what if they have two? Then that's it.
You got it.
Can these goals to change habits be done by yourself as an individual, or do you need help? Do you need to go to a Doris Weil-Hellmuth, a psychotherapist, or a group of people, or can you do it on your own?
Well, I think that's different for different people. I think some people can do it on their own. They're more private, and what they want to do is they want to sort of take the bull by the horns, and they're going to use these techniques, and they're going to be able to change their own behavior. And they don't want other people to know that they're dieting or they're working on giving up smoking. And then there are other people that do much, much better with a group of people where they get that support. You know, when I work with people that come to me in therapy is that I'm really like their cheerleader and sort of some days their tyrant. And so every day, like if somebody is going to work on their weight with me, they have to call me at the end of every day and they have to report their points or their calories, and then they also have to report if they've worked out or not, how they've done for the day. And I can start to tell as people call, you know, if they're starting to give themselves excuses. I have this one woman who really struggles, and, you know, she'll say, well, I didn't do so very well today. You know, I cooked dinner for the kids. Well, what the heck? You can still cook dinner for the kids and do better. But, you know, but I get to know her in that kind of a way. So she's really struggling. And other people, man, they hit their target points or their target calories every single day. So for them, that's really helpful. But I've heard almost everybody says to me, Doris, it's really helpful if I can email you, or it's helpful if I can report to you. And what I tell people is, you know, get yourself a friend and exchange your points or exchange your calorie count every single day. And what you'll do is you can kind of cheer each other along in terms of losing weight, or cheer each other along in terms of giving up smoking.
Can someone do this to change a career, for example? Can they say to themselves, I choose to get a better job. I choose to be happier. I choose, and really go after it, and would it happen?
Yes, it would happen. Because what we know is that if you operate from a belief system that you can get something done, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get it done. And I think we should all be like the little engine that could, you know, I think I can. And then actually you can do it. And research, positive psychology research, really shows that if you believe that you can get the job done, you can get it done. And sometimes, you know, you're going to slip back. You're going to absolutely be determined you're going to give up smoking. You give it up for 4 days, and then you go back to smoking again. Okay, so you slip back. Then the next day you get up, and by gosh, you start all over again. You know, I tell people to divide the day into quadrants, which means I start out with, okay, so we have the morning quadrants, the midday quadrant, the evening quadrant, and then the late evening quadrant. And if you slip up in that third quadrant, okay, you don't have to mess up for the fourth quadrant. And I think what happens a lot of times is people will mess up and, you know, they'll do what they don't want to do, and then guess what? They give themselves permission to keep, you know, messing up, as opposed to, okay, so I messed up, so I'm going to grab a hold of myself again, and I'm going to keep trudging along, because in the end, I can lose weight. I can give up smoking. I can control my drinking or stop drinking. I can stop gambling, or I can go less.
Doris, we're getting a lot of phone calls for you already, so we'll take some calls when we come back. And also, I want to talk with you about positive and negative energy and see how people can go from negative to positive and really change their lives. I'm George Norrie, right here on Coast to Coast AM with our guest, Doris Wild-Helmerine. Her book, Think Thin, Be Thin, her website, linked up with her name right now on Coast to Coast AM, is Doris Wild-Helmerine, HELMERING.com. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your calls. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest this hour, Doris Wild-Helmerine. Doris, I'm glad I hired you a long time ago, I'd never be able to pronounce your name if I didn't know that.
You know, everybody messes it up.
Not me.
No, you don't.
Can someone who is, now I'm going to give you an example, and then you tell me if they can. Someone who's negative turn themselves into a positive with the same program, because I've seen people, I've talked about it on the program before, Doris, they are so negative, they clean out a room. People don't even want to be around them. I call them energy zappers. They've got this negativity all around them. They need to change their life because I really think that this negative energy is pulling them down. Can you convert from being a negative person like that to a positive by doing some of the techniques and Think Thin, Be Thin?
Well, you know what? I would like to say absolutely yes. I'm not quite so sure. I do know that negative self-talk is very self-defeating, and I think that when people get into being critical of stuff, they do clean out the room. It's sort of like you want to run out of the room, and you want to say, oh my gosh, I can't stand that particular person. I think part of the problem with people who are very negative is that they don't see themselves that way. And so if you're going to change, what you have to do is you have to be ready for change. You have to be in sort of that preparation action stage of change. And a lot of times they're really not, unless one of their good friends or maybe, you know, someone they're married to or one of their children say, oh my gosh, Mom, you get so critical sometimes. You really need to change those comments that you're making, or you say that to a good friend, and then, you know, they're going to pull back from you. So it's pretty hard to get those people to change. But if they come into therapy and they say, you know, I would really like to change my criticalness, then what I do is I start by having them write down every critical comment they hear themselves make. And they have to write down not only the ones they hear themselves make out loud, but the ones inside of their head. And a lot of times they'll come up with 40, 50, 60 critical comments a day. And then when they start to actually see that, then they can start to change. And in the beginning, they start to talk less because they don't know what to say. They don't know exactly how to make comments without having it sound critical or without being critical. And so eventually then they get in touch with what they're doing, and then they can go about and change.
What about somebody who's addicted to drugs? Not just alcohol-type drugs, but I mean serious stuff, real serious stuff.
Well, I think real serious stuff, what they're going to actually do is probably need a treatment center. Somebody's addicted to crack, if they use a lot of cocaine, then they're going to really have to work with a therapist, and they're not going to be able to do it on themselves. They might wish they can, but they're not going to be able to. But they're so many bad habits that people really can change themselves. And all they have to do is make a decision that they're going to be able to do it.
Let's go to the phones. Ready?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
West of the Rockies, you're on the line with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Hi, it's a pleasure, George and Doris.
Hi, thanks for calling us.
Sure, I have a big question. Well, first, can I just say, I listened to your show, George, when Adam was on.
Yes, Adam the healer.
Yes, and I got both his books. I ordered them right away, so I'm in the middle of that.
It's good
just
for you.
Wonderful. But my question would be, I understand the power of the mind, and Doris, some of what you say reminds me of EMDR.
Uh-huh.
You know, where you have to integrate those thoughts. You can't just say them once. Well, my issue would be with a chronic illness, MS in my case. Is there some technique or something that you have used or found to be useful to help? Because the mind can heal. We just don't know how to tap into it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I would probably do with you is I would want you to learn self-hypnosis. Because I think if you're what you would have to decide is, you know, what do you want? Do you want to be able to have more energy? Do you want to be able to heal yourself? You know, hypnosis really is simply a state of intense concentration. And when you're in that state, your brain is much more accepting of information because you've closed out other stimuli. And so what I would do is I would probably come up for you with a hypnotic suggestion, such as, you know, I choose to be strong and healthy, or I've made a decision to be strong and healthy, or when I get out of bed in the morning, I feel strong and healthy, something like that. And then what you do is you learn self-hypnosis, and then you give yourself that hypnotic suggestion. And, you know, it really does work. It is amazing how self-hypnosis can be helpful to people. And that would be one of the things that I would tell you to do.
Interesting. You know, I do Qigong, and one of the affirmations is, you know, at the end when you do this practicing, that I am free from pain and illness, you know, and there's part of that affirmation, which is good. And then is meditation a totally going to be different effect than self-hypnosis?
Meditation is a bit different. I also talk about that and how to be able to use some of those particular skills in the book. And I think that's a good thing. The other thing, I want to go back to your MS. One of the things I would probably tell you to do is to develop a good memory. And what I mean by that is take the time to think about all the kindnesses that have come your way in life and pay attention to the small things that people do for you. Because one of the things that research really does show is that if you become aware and grateful of the good things that have happened to you in life, you're going to protect yourself. And so that would be one of the things that I would do. I would also maybe do a gratitude journal where you would write down all the things that you're grateful for. And sometimes just those kinds of things are very helpful for people who are ill, and it helps them move beyond their illness.
Okay, thanks for your call. Heck, Doris, here you are telling people to use this technique if they have a gambling addiction and problem. And then I'm talking about my buddy George Poulos, who puts an eight in his pocket and goes out and wins $11,000. I'm not making your job any easier,
well,
am
but
I?
But it didn't sound like he had a gambling problem, although he might if he goes every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he thinks...
I mean, really, George, I'll have to come back and teach him how what he should not be doing.
I'm telling you, if he thinks his number eight's going to work all the time, I may have created a problem.
No, for everybody.
Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. It's a privilege. How you doing?
Thank you, sir. Great. Where are you calling from?
I am in Norwich, Connecticut. My name is Kevin, and I'm listening on XM Radio.
Okay, my friend. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin.
Doris, good evening. You're such an upbeat person. It's a pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you very much.
I sort of have a two-parter. First, if a person wants to do some work in their life on a relationship with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I know that it's important not to meditate or work on changing others' behavior, et cetera, et cetera.
Although we certainly all try, don't we?
Yes, we do. But if one wants to work and meditate and give this kind of reinforcement that you're talking about to oneself by saying something like, I believe this can be a healthy relationship and that it can improve, or something like that. I'm just throwing something out there. Does this work on relationships? And the second part of my question.
Well, hold on. Let me answer that one first.
Yes.
You know what? I think that probably I would not use an affirmation for that. What I would do instead is to say, you know, what part of this relationship is healthy? And what I would do is focus in a positive way on the part that's healthy. Because I think a lot of times what people do is that they focus on the negative in the relationship as opposed to the positive. So if you really want this relationship to go and you think there's a lot of good things about it, then what you want to do is focus on the positive. And also make sure that you give that person in the relationship a lot of strokes, a lot of attention, tell them how wonderful they are, and don't focus on the negative, don't be critical. So that would be the first part of the answer.
Yeah. As I was listening to you before I do my second part, I was thinking of something I used to say. We ought to take the word can't out of the dictionary.
Oh, my gosh. I tell people that all the time.
If someone has identified several issues in their life that they want to work on, perhaps they want to lose weight and quit smoking and work on self-esteem and make a career change, is it best just to select one or two things to focus on? Or, you know, is this energy limitless in a sense?
Well, here's what I would do. Is if I wanted to lose weight and quit smoking, I would use the affirmation, I choose not to smoke and I choose to lose weight. I choose not to smoke, I choose to lose weight. And I would just put those two together. I think what will happen also is that as you lose weight and as you are able to give up smoking, what's going to happen is you're going to build your self-esteem. You're going to feel better about yourself. And as you feel better about yourself, it's going to be very easy to make a career switch. A lot of times people...